Hare Krishna. So we'll start from verse number 30. Deva uchuhu yathakritaste sankalpo bhavyam tenaiva nanyatha satsankalpasya te brahman yadvai dhyayati te vayam.
The three deities told Atrimuni, "Dear Brahmana, you are perfect in your determination and therefore, as you have decided, so it will happen. It will not happen otherwise. We are all the same person upon whom you are meditating and therefore, we have all come to you."
So Atrimuni had this doubt. I called for one person, so how come three personalities appeared? So then all the three deities were replying that we are all the same person, right? So whatever is your determination, that will happen. Because you meditated on a Jagadishwara, so all of us are Jagadishwara, so we appeared together. So Atrimuni unspecifically thought of the Lord, although he had no clear idea of who is the Lord of the universe, Jagadishwara. So Mahavishnu, he is breathing out millions of universes, and he can be called Jagadishwara. Garbhodakasaya Vishnu, from his lotus navel, Brahmaji is taking birth and he is the Lord of this universe. So he can also be called Jagadishwara. Kshirodakasaya Vishnu, who expands himself as the super soul in all the hearts of all the living entities, he can also be called Jagadishwara. And Lord has appointed Brahmaji and Lord Shiva as the in charges of the material modes of passion and ignorance, they can also be called Jagadishwara. So who exactly Atri wanted, he was not clear, but he wanted Jagadishwara. So the Lord, all the three Lords appeared. So what is the key factor here? Why the Lord has to appear in front of such a person who does not have understanding of the constitutional position of the Lord? Why at all Lord has to reciprocate? So Prabhupada gives a simple answer. One's determination is fulfilled according to the strength of one's devotion. According to the strength of his determination for a son, his desire would be fulfilled by the grace of the Lord. So Lord does simple ayathama prapadyante in many cases. So when a living entity persists that I want to gratify my senses, I want to do this, I want to do that, so Lord will sanction that. So in this case of Atrimuni, he was very determined to have a son, and to that end he is doing many various austerities. So Lord is simply reciprocating with that determination. That's why Lord appeared. Right? His desire would be fulfilled by the grace of the Lord. So that is the reason Prabhupada gives here. Now the deities further continue. Athasmat अंशभूतास्ते आत्मजालोक विश्रुताः भवितारोंग भद्रम्ते विश्रप्यन्ति चते यशः.
You will have sons who represent a partial manifestation of our potency, and because we desire all good fortune for you, those sons will glorify your reputation throughout the world.
So we will, our partial expansions will come as your sons. Next, evam kamavaram dattva prati jagmuhu sureshvaraha sabhajitastayo samyag dampatyor mishatostatah.
Thus, while the couple looked on, the three deities, Brahma, Vishnu and Maheshwara, disappeared from that place after bestowing upon Atrimuni the benediction.
Somabhut brahmanom shena datto vishnostu yogavit durvasaha sankarshayam so nivodhangi rasah prajaha. So somabhut brahmanom shena from Brahma's partial representation is Soma, moon god. And the partial representation of Vishnu is Datta, second line. Then Durvasa. Durvasa is the partial expansion of Shankara or Shiva. So now you may hear about many sons of Angira. So he will continue later. So this ends the description of Atri. So Atri and Anasuya got these three sons who are the partial expansions. There is something wrong in the slide. Bhrigu is mentioned. That was a mistake. So it is Durvasa in the slide. So in the break, some devotees were asking few more details about the examples that I showed, that Nabhi and Gajendra. So Gajendra also did not take any name. Why the Supreme Lord appeared? Why three deities did not appear? So like that some devotee asked. So Gajendra offered a prayer, and that prayer is very much matching all the attributes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in the case of Gajendra, when he offered prayer, all the demigods were considering this animal did not offer any prayer taking anyone's name. So we demigods should not go and protect the animal. And the Supreme Lord is not pleased very easily. So he will also not come, the animal will die. So like the demigods were thinking. So none of them came there. But as soon as the Supreme Lord heard the prayer, so he was running towards Gajendra. Even Garuda also could not match his pace. So he just came and protected Gajendra. And while then all the demigods realized that, we thought that he will never go and protect the animal. So he is going. So we did a great offense, and all the demigods also came along with the Lord to apologize the Lord. Right? So we were indifferent to this animal, and we had a thought that you will never come and reciprocate with his prayer. So that is why we did not come like that. They were apologetic. So, and Gajendra offered a prayer. Gajendra did not do 100 years of austerity. Gajendra was offering a prayer which is very much matching with the description of the Supreme Lord. And that prayer is something that he memorized in his previous life as Indradyumna Maharaj. Gajendra had a very great background of performing devotional service in his previous life. Because of Agastya's curse, he became Gajendra. So now Lord reminded him of that prayer, and by the mercy of the Lord, Gajendra offered that prayer and Lord came and rescued him. That is to some extent, it's complete. The storyline is complete. We could not discuss it completely before the break. And coming to the case of Nabhi. So Nabhi also had a material desire of getting a son as good as the Supreme Lord. Atri also had the same desire. However, the difference is Nabhi has an understanding of the Supreme Lord. Nabhi is already a great devotee of the Lord, and Nabhi is a great worshipper of the Brahmanas. These Brahmanas whom Nabhi employed as the priests of his sacrifice, they were not ordinary Brahmanas, they are exalted devotees. Pleased with the worship of Nabhi, all these Brahmanas conducted sacrifice and offered prayers to the Lord and showed the Supreme Lord to Nabhi. So Nabhi is glorified as the greatest worshipper of Brahmanas. So Nabhi's level is different from Atrimuni. So in that sense, Nabhi later developed Vatsalya affection towards the Lord. And another point is, we cannot minimize the position of Atri also, although he had a material desire here. Although he did not have sufficient understanding of the Supreme Lord. Atri is one of the important sages, one of the important progenitors, right? So there is always a stage where one may not have complete understanding about the Lord. So Atri, we have discussed so far that stage of Atri. Right? And more details about Atri are not mentioned, at least within Bhagavatam. So there must be more details about Atri in some other places. So Bhagavatam mentions this much. Right? So Atri example we see, from the example of Atri we see that he is the one who performed some austerities with a material desire, with an incomplete understanding of the Lord. But Nabhi has an understanding of the Lord. And in the case of Dhruva, we have seen he has guidance of the Lord, and his practice was very sincere. And although he had material motivations in the beginning, they were purified. Yes, Prabhu.
Like you mentioned before, this Gajendra had a desire for liberation. Means in the last prayers, does it come directly that he was like wanting that I don't want this body?
8.3.25 onwards, Gajendra asks. Gajendra says that I don't wish to live in this animal body after you deliver me from this crocodile's clutches. So there is a mention there.
So, and liberation can be offered only by Vishnu, so that's why he comes like that?
No, no. That overall prayer is a wonderful description of the Supreme Lord. Right? So, yeah, that prayer is a description of the Supreme Lord. And definitely liberation is offered only by Vishnu. Other demigods cannot offer. That is there. So, next, we will continue with the description. 34th verse. Shraddhatvangirasa patni 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 chatasro patni chatasro sutakanyakaha sinivali kuhuraka chaturthyanu matistatha.
Angira's wife Shraddha gave birth to four daughters named Sinivali, Kuhu, Raka and Anumati.
You can read the translations. We'll skip verse recitation.
Besides these four daughters, she also had another two sons. One of them was known as Utathya and other was the learned scholar Brihaspati. Pulatsya begot in his wife Havirbhu one son of the name Agastya, who in his next birth became Dharagni. Besides him, Pulatsya begot another very great and saintly son whose name was Vishrava.
Vishrava is the foremost personality in that Ravana's dynasty. You can read.
Vishrava had two wives. The first wife was Idavida, from whom Kuvera, the master of all Yakshas, was born. And the next wife was named Keshini, from whom three sons were born, Ravana, Kumbhakarna and Vibhishana.
So Ravana happens to be a demon. He is like one of these Vishnudutas, Jay and Vijaya, who was cursed by four Kumaras. And he has stolen the Pushpaka Vimana of Kuvera. Although they are like brothers only, still Ravana is little inimical towards Kuvera. Next.
Gati, the wife of sage Pulaha, gave birth to three sons named Karma Shrestha, Variyan and Sahishnu, and all of them were great sages. Kratu's wife Kriya gave birth to 60,000 great sages named the Valakhilyas. All these sages were greatly advanced in spiritual knowledge and their bodies were illuminated by such knowledge.
Next.
The great sage Vasishta begot in his wife Urja, sometimes called Arundhati, seven spotlessly great sages headed by the sage named Chitraketu.
Their names are given in the next verse. Chitraketu, Surochi, Viraja, Mitra, Ulbana, Vasubhrudhyana and Juman. Some other very competent sons were born from Vasishta's other wife. Continue, 42.
Chitti, wife of the sage Atharva, gave birth to a son named Ashvashira by accepting a great vow called Dadhyancha. Now, you may hear from me about the descendants of the sage Bhrigu. The sage Bhrigu was highly fortunate. In his wife, known as Khyati, he begot two sons named Dhata and Vidhata and one daughter named Shri, who was very much devoted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The sage Meru had two daughters named Ayati and Niyati, whom he gave in charity to Data and Vidata. Ayati and Niyati gave birth to two sons, Mrikanda and Prana. From Mrikanda, Markandeya Muni was born, and from Prana, the sage Vedashira, whose son was Ushana, Shukracharya, also known as Kavi. Thus, Kavi also belonged to descendants of the Bhrigu dynasty.
So now, Kardam, Maitreya Muni gives Phalashruti of this episode. What is the glory of hearing the dynasty? So far we have completed the dynasties of Devahuti and Kardamuni and also Akuti and ruchi, right? So he gives the result. Tayetevana yakshatar lokan sargair abhavayan yeshakardama dauhitra santana kathitastava srinvata shraddhadanasya sadhya papahara paraha prasutim manavim daksha upayemehya jatmajaha.
My dear Vidura, the population of the universe was thus increased by the descendants of these sages and the daughters of Kardama. Anyone who hears these descriptions of this dynasty with faith will be relieved from all sinful reactions. Another of Manu's daughters, known as Prasuti, married the son of Brahma named Daksha.
So the result of hearing all these dynasties is relief from sinful reactions. No, he begins with another daughter, Prasuti. Daksha marries Prasuti. Tasyam sasarja duhitra shoda shamala lochanaha trayodashada dharmaya tathaikam agnaye vibhuhu.
Daksha begot 16 very beautiful daughters with lotus-like eyes in his wife Prasuti. Of these 16 daughters, 13 were given in marriage to Dharma and one daughter was given to Agni.
Next, read the translation of the next set of verses, 49 to 52.
One of the remaining two daughters was given in charity to the Pitraloka, where she resides very amicably, and the other was given to Lord Shiva, who is the deliverer of sinful persons from material entanglement. The names of the 13 daughters of Daksha who were given to Dharma are Shraddha, Maitri, Daya, Shanti, Tushti, Pushti, Kriya, Unnati, Buddhi, Medha, Titiksha, Hri and Murti. These 13 daughters produced the following sons. Shraddha gave birth to Shubha, Maitri produced Prasada, Daya gave birth to Abhaya, Shanti gave birth to Sukha, Tushti gave birth to Muda, Pushti gave birth to Smaya, Kriya gave birth to Yoga, Unnati gave birth to Darpa, Buddhi gave birth to Artha, Medha gave birth to Smriti, Titiksha gave birth to Kshema, and Hri gave birth to Prashraya. Murti, a reservoir of all respectable qualities, gave birth to Sri Naranarayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
So the 52nd verse is like this, the last line. Murti sarva gunopattair naranarayana rishi. So Murti gave birth to Naranarayana rishis. So some of these daughters of Daksha, they are giving birth to different personalities. By the original meaning of the names of these daughters, the words of the names of the daughters, with Shraddha and all, we can understand that they are presiding deities of various shaktis of sattva-gunas. Right? Maitri, Daya, Shanti, Tushti, Pushti, Kriya, they are all various good qualities. Various, they are considered various energies of sattva-guna. So, all these are presiding deities of those qualities. So, that's why they are named like this. So, these daughters also have corresponding qualities like that. Smaya means enthusiastic to perform activities of dharma. Next, Smaya and Darpa produce generations of sinful people. Arrogance and pride. Smaya and Darpa. Next, Sarvagunotpatti means this Murti is Sarvagunotpatti. She was the source of the Lord who is endowed with all auspicious qualities. So Lord chose Murti as his mother because she is having all qualities. And Lord also is having all those beautiful qualities, auspicious qualities. She is the form of Shuddha Sattva. All the other daughters are presiding deities of various Shaktis of Sattva. And now Murti is the form of Shuddha Sattva. It should be understood to be the Shakti who manifests the Lord, Shuddha Sattva. So that is the glory of Murti and Naranarayan Rishi. So the rest of the chapter briefly describes the pastimes of Naranarayan Rishi. 53rd verse. Yayorjanmanyado vishvam abhyanandat sunirvritam manamsi kakubho vataha prasedhu saritodrayah.
On the occasion of the appearance of Naranarayana, the entire world was full of joy. Everyone's mind became tranquil, and thus in all directions, the air, the rivers and the mountains became pleasant.
So this is the natural phenomena, very recurring theme, where the jubilation and pleasant characteristic of the nature is described whenever the Supreme Lord descends. So there are signs of good fortune. Divyavadyanta turyani petuhu kusuma vrishtayah manayas tushtuvus tushta jagur gandharva kinnarah nrityantismastriyo devya asit paramamangalam deva brahmadaya sarve upatastur abhishtavaihi.
In the heavenly planets, bands began to play and they showered flowers from the sky. The pacified sages chanted Vedic prayers. The denizens of heaven, known as the Gandharvas and Kinnaras, sang. The beautiful damsels of the heavenly planets danced. And in this way, at the time of appearance of Naranarayana, all signs of good fortune were visible. Just at that time, great demigods like Brahma also offered their respectful prayers.
All the demigods were very happy to have Naranarayana Rishi appear in the universe, and they offered prayers. Deva uchuhu yomayaya virachitam nijayatmanidam kherupa bhedamivatat pratichakshanaya etena dharma sadane rishi murtinadya pradushchakara purushaya namah parasmai yomayaya virachitam nijayatmanidam kherupa bhedamivatat pratichakshanaya etena dharma sadane rishi murtinadya pradushchakara purushaya namah parasmai.
The demigod said, let us offer our respectful obeisances unto the transcendental personality of Godhead, who created as his external energy this cosmic manifestation, which is situated in him as the air and clouds are situated in space, and who has now appeared in the form of Naranarayana Rishi in the house of Dharma.
So yo mayaya virachitam nijayatmanidam, the supreme personality of Godhead created this cosmic manifestation by his own energy, right? Mayaya virachitam nijayatmanidam khe rupa bhedam ivatat pratichakshanaya. So this cosmic manifestation is created by his external energy, which is situated in him, just like clouds are situated in the air, in the ether. Similarly, the whole cosmic manifestation is resting upon the Lord. Right now, such wonderful creator of this entire cosmic manifestation is appearing as a sage in that creation. So it is really very astonishing. We offer our respectful obeisances unto him. Etena dharma sadane rishi murtinadya. So like that he appeared. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes that this universe belongs to the Lord. It is created by his energy and is situated within him, just like cloud is in the sky. So Prabhupada writes elaborately that the universal form is cosmic manifestation. It is an expansion of Lord Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. It is an exhibition of Lord's external energy. It is also considered the material form of the Lord. So in space, there are innumerable varieties of planets and air. In air, there are variously colored clouds and sometimes airplanes. So this entire cosmic manifestation is full of variety. Only out of foolishness that the impersonalists think that there is no variety in this universe. Right? So, And although there is variety in this universe, all that variety is nothing but illusion. Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. So, as we see that demigods, impersonalists, what they think is, there are forms in this world, there are names in this world. In the spiritual world, there should be no forms, no names, no service, no activities, because all of them are existing here. So, like that, they kind of negate whatever we see in this to get what is absolute truth, right? But the opposite of absolute truth is not absolute false, it is relative truth, as we discussed last time, right? So, Mayava, this thing that the opposite of absolute truth is absolute false. And they think nothing is absolute truth, and things that are manifesting here is absolute false. That means Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. But Vaishnavas understand that it is all relative truth. The replicas, the original prototypes of all the things that we see here are existing in the spiritual world. That is the absolute truth. So there are material activities here, there are spiritual activities there. So there are material forms here, there are spiritual forms there. So like that, the Vaishnavas explain. So then we also discussed this Parinamavada, Vivartavada, right, sometime back. So Lord, after manifesting His energy, appeared within the creation of His energy, which is simultaneously one with and different from Himself. And the demigods offered respects to that Lord, who manifests Himself in various varieties. So Lord manifests and He enters within. And He is outside also, Ahamevasamevagre. So that is the inconceivable potency of the Lord. So Lord can stay within the universe and outside the universe. Lord can be connected with the universe and aloof from the universe also. So Brahmaji offers prayers to Krishna and He says, after Brahma Mohan Lila, He says, my dear Lord, you should forgive me. I am like your child. When a child kicks the mother from within the womb, mother will not take offense. Similarly, all the universes are there within your womb. And I mean one of those universes, that means I am within your abdomen, means I am your son, you are like my mother. So you should forgive me if I do some mistake from within your womb. And all this He is saying by standing in front of Krishna, right? Means Krishna is within the universe and universe is within Krishna also. Yashodamai has seen the entire cosmic manifestation within the belly of Krishna, and she is staying in one small village called Vrindavan in this Bharatavarsha, in this entire cosmos. So it is very difficult to understand how can someone be outside something while simultaneously being inside something. That is the inconceivable potency of the Lord, right? So after manifesting His energy, Lord appeared within the creation of His energy, which is simultaneously one with and different from Himself. So varieties are not false but temporary. Non-dualists are impersonal people. So they think that varieties are false, but here it is said that Yo Mayaya Virachitam Nijayatma Nidam. See the first line of this verse. Yo Mayaya Virachitam. All of them are Virachitam, means created or manifested by Lord's own potency, Mayaya. So how can someone say that something that is manifested by Lord's energy can be false? They may manifest temporarily, but they are never false, right? They are sometimes called false even by Vaishnavas also, because they exist temporarily. In that sense, they are false. But they are false does not mean they are not existent, right? Their existence is not illusory. To think that they are permanent is illusion. So energy is non-different from Godhead, and material varieties are also factual, maybe temporary but not false. They are the reflection of spiritual varieties. So we'll go to the next prayer. Only two prayers are there. Soyam stuti vyati karo apashamaya srishtan satvena nasuraganan anumeya tattvah drishyadada bhrakarunena vilokanena yat shriniketa mamala kshipatara vindam Soyam sthiti vyatikaro apashamaya srishtan Satvena nasuraganan anumeya tattvah దృశ్యాదభ్రకరుణేన విలోకనేన యత్ శ్రీనికేతమమలం క్షిపతారవిందం.
Let the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is understood by truly authorized Vedic literature and who has created peace and prosperity to destroy all calamities of the created world, be kind enough to bestow his glance upon the demigods. His merciful glance can supersede the beauty of the spotless lotus flower, which is the home of the goddess of fortune.
So in this prayer, the demigods are glorifying the mercy of Naranarayana. So soyam sthiti vyatikaropa shamaya srishtan. Sthiti means he has created the world, right? Upashamaya means he has destroyed the world. Srishtan is created, sthiti is maintaining the world. Stoyam sthiti vyatikaropa shamaya srishtan sattverana suraganan anumeya tattvaha. So he is understood by the Vedas, and drishyat adabhra karunena. సోసావదభ్రకరుణ భగవాన్ వివృద్ధ ప్రేమ స్మితేన నయనాం బృహం విజృంభన్. దట్స్ అవర్ వేకప్ ప్రేయర్. బ్రహ్మాజీ ఆఫర్స్ దిస్ ప్రేయర్. ఉత్థాయ విశ్వ విజయాయ చ నో విషాదం మాధ్వ్యా గిరాపనయతాత్ పురుష పురాణ. సో లార్డ్స్ గ్లాన్స్ ఈస్ అకంపనీడ్ బై హిస్ స్మైల్ అండ్ మెర్సీ. అదభ్రకరుణ అన్పారలల్డ్ మెర్సీ. సో ఆల్ ద డెమిగాడ్స్ ఆర్ ప్రేయింగ్ ఫర్ దట్ మెర్సిఫుల్ గ్లాన్స్. His merciful glance can deride the beauty of the spotless lotus. So lotus is considered to be the abode of Mother Lakshmi. Lakshmi always sits in a lotus. Lakshmi always holds lotus in her hand. So lotus is the abode of Lakshmi, but Lord's glance defeats the beauty of that lotus, right? So that is the glory of the Lord. Prabhupada writes, sun and moon covered by the clouds and dust. So that is a comparison Prabhupada gives. Just like that, Supreme Personality of Godhead is covered by wonderful activities of material nature. Sometimes it is very difficult to have a clear vision of sun and moon in the sky when there are so many clouds. Similarly, when one is absorbed in the functions of material nature, he is so caught up in the activities of material nature, he won't be able to see the Supreme Lord. It's not that sun and moon are covered by the clouds. Our vision is covered by the clouds and we are unable to see sun and moon. Similarly, Supreme Lord cannot be overcome by the material nature. Because we are overwhelmed by material nature, we won't be able to see the Supreme Lord. Maya javanika channam agnadhoksha jamavyayam na lakshase mudadusha nato natyadharo yatha. So Prabhupada says that material scientists cannot find the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the origin of cosmic manifestation. So they conclude that this nature is the ultimate cause of all manifestations. Morning only we discussed from Gajendra prayers. Namo namaste akhila karanaya nishkaranaya adbhuta karanaya. So he is the cause of all causes, but he has no cause. That is why he is wonderful cause. But scientists become wondered seeing at all the manifested causes, but they cannot identify the wonderful cause behind all these wonders. Right? So they deny the existence of Lord, because the material nature is functioning so seamlessly, so perfectly, that Lord's expertise such that he need not present himself. It is functioning so nicely, he need not intervene every now and then to make it run. Right? For example, somebody creates a mobile or cycle, something like that, then it will not run on its own. It has to be oiled and it has to be repaired every now and then. Some attention has to be given. But Lord creates something and it functions on its own for the entire duration of cosmic manifestation. Right? So because so many material phenomena are naturally occurring and they are functioning on their own, scientists get bewildered that I think there must be no creator. Right? What is the need for a person? It is functioning so perfectly. So they deny the existence of a person. But using little common sense and intelligence will make a person understand that someone must have created them. That is why there is a structured phenomena we can see in all the functionings of material nature. Right? So Prabhupada writes, why the Lord appears? Behind this wonderful cosmic manifestation is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in order to maintain the regular procedures of the cosmic manifestation and to be visible to the eyes of the persons who are in mode of goodness, the Lord appears. To be visible to the eyes of persons who are in mode of goodness. Even in the first canto, we have seen what is the reason for Lord's appearance? To reclaim people in mode of goodness. Right, in the 6 questions of the sages, the 3rd question is this. So, Lord's purpose of appearance is to be visible to the eyes of people in mode of goodness and to reclaim all such wonderful souls. Another beautiful prayer comes, Naranarayan Rishi's prayer in this canto, 5th canto. Residents of Jambudvipa offer this prayer. Kartasya sargadisha yona badhyate nahanyate deha gatopi dehikaihi. Drashturna drugyasya gunair vidushyate tasmai namo asakta vivikta sakshine. Kartasya sargadishu yo nabadhyate. Just now we have discussed in these prayers how the Lord is the supreme creator of this entire universe. He is the karta, he is the doer of sargadishu. Sargadishu means the creation, maintenance and destruction. Sargadi, janmadhyasetha, like that. Kartasya sargadishu yo nabadhyate. Although the Lord is creator of everything, he is not bound by that creation. When someone does something, he has some attachment to what he has accomplished. Right? He has made some drawing, he has typed on document, he has designed something, or he has made some, say, table or something he has made. So there is some attachment to a person. I have done this. There is a possessiveness. There is an attachment. But because of that attachment, there is bondage. So, the living entity in this material world is bound by his own creations. But the Lord is doing unlimited creations in a much greater magnitude, but he is never bound. Kartasya sargadishayo nabadhyate. Next, kartasya sargadishayo nabadhyate nadhanyate deha gatopi daihikaihi. So, when the embodied soul, he enters a material body, he is entrapped by the functionings of that material body, right? So, although the Lord accepts so many bodies, still there is no attachment, there is no entanglement for him. Kartasya sargadishu yona badhyate, then nahanyate deha gatopi daihikaihi. Although he is accepting so many dehas, still he is not suffering because of the bodily demands. When we accept a body, we have to suffer. Body will get headache and backache and all kinds of problems. The dehis have to suffer because of deha. But Lord accepts so many dehas, but he is not suffering because of the deha. He is only enjoying. Next, 3rd. Drashturna drugyasya gunair vidushyate. Drashtur. Although he is the drashta, witness of everything, he is not affected by qualities, material modes. Whenever we see something, when a person influenced by material modes, when he glances on something, what will happen is there is an attachment created. The object or the person whom he sees will generate certain impulses and they will form certain impressions on the mind, and depending on the particular mode that predominantly influences this person, he is affected like that. For example, somebody is in mode of goodness, he enters a slaughterhouse or a market where a lot of meat and fish they are sold. He gets completely disgusted, right? Because he's in mode of goodness, he cannot handle that kind of ambience. So he cannot stay there. On the other hand, in that same experience, in that same ambience, if someone who is in mode of ignorance, who is a very staunch meat eater, enters there, he gets into ecstasy, right? He sees, seeing all that red flesh and all that, he becomes really ecstatic. Because he is in that mode. So his drishti is affected, his vision is affected by the mode in which he is in. Right? He is influenced by certain mode, ignorance, some ignorant activity will attract him. However, the Lord, how much he is witnessing? Drashtur na drugyasya gunair vidushyate. He is the drashta of all the activities done by all individual souls in all the universes, in all the planets. How much he is seeing? He is expanding as supreme soul, super soul in the hearts of every single living entity. So we may not be aware of all the activities that we have done, but the Supreme Lord is completely aware and he remembers. You can only imagine how big is his hard disk, right? He can remember each and every activity that this living entity has done since time immemorial and for the rest of eternity. Like that, there are innumerable souls in innumerable universes. Lord sees, witnesses all of them. So when you see so much, how can you not get affected? I just gave one example of someone entering a slaughterhouse and he gets affected in various ways. But the Lord, he sees so many things, so many functions in this material universe, but he's unaffected. Why? Because he is not influenced by modes. The conditioned souls get affected because we are influenced by modes. Whenever he sees something, some nice object, some delicious food item, immediately water is there in that person's mouth. Whenever he sees some other beautiful object, he gets attracted. When someone sees the form of opposite sex, they get attracted. So like that, our drishti is affected depending on which mode we are influenced with. But Lord is not at all influenced by any mode. So drishtirna drigyasya gunair vidushyate. He is not affected. So tasmai namo asakta vivikta sakshine. I offer obeisances to that Lord who is asakta, detached, vivikta, pure sakshi, witness. He is unattached, pure witness of everything. He is not affected by it. So these are the prayers offered to Naranarayan Rishi. And Naranarayan Rishi's episode also comes in the 11th canto, 12th canto. So Nama Markandeya Rishi, he is a great devotee of Naranarayana Rishi's. So he offers prayers to Naranarayan Rishi and the Lord presents himself, both the sages. Narayana will present in front of Naranarayan, in front of Markandeya Rishi and ask him, what do you want? Then Markandeya Muni says that I want to see how your material energy functions. So suddenly Naranarayan Rishi said, oh, they did not appreciate that desire in Markandeya. How can my devotee wants to understand how my material energy functions? Definitely Markandeya Rishi did not have an inclination to enjoy the material energy of the Lord, but he has a curiosity to see how it functions. So Lord wants to fulfill that curiosity. Immediately there is a universal inundation. So 7 kalpas, Markandeya Rishi has seen inundation. So there is inundation in the ashram, in his ashram, and then he is just floating in the devastation waters and is swimming for several thousands of years. That's like duration of one kalpa. And he sees Vatapatrashai and he goes close. Who is this baby? Who is this beautiful boy lying down on this Vatapatra? So then he goes close and he is inhaled into the belly of this small Krishna who is sucking his own toe. Then inside that he sees the entire creation process and again he is exhaled out. Again inundation waters, he is swimming. So like that 7 kalpas duration he will see. And Naranarayan Rishi's episode also comes in the 11th canto, where incarnation's description comes in the discussion of Nimi and Navayugendras. So there it is described that Naranarayan Rishi were performing this austerities. Then Indra sent some apsaras along with Cupid to disturb Naranarayan Rishi. So they go and they do all kinds of pastimes there to entice Naranarayan Rishi. Naranarayan Rishi, coolly opens his eyes and says, oh, you are all exalted demigods. You have come to our ashram. It's our great fortune to receive you at our ashram. So you should come inside, accept all these vegetables and fruits and our hospitality. Take this seat, right? Tell what you want. So like that, he receives the Cupid. Naranarayan Rishi receive the Cupid. And Cupid becomes very embarrassed. All the demigods accompanying him, they become a little embarrassed. Generally, whenever Cupid and Apsaras go to disturb sages, either the sages become angry and curse. Even Shiva also, he became angry and burned Cupid to ashes. Right? And other sages, they become angry and they either curse the Apsaras or they may become influenced by lust and they may unite with the Apsaras. So these two things only they have seen so far. But Naranarayan Rishi, there is no trace of lust, no trace of anger. So Cupid was surprised and embarrassed. Then he offered prayers. And because he was offering prayers with that kind of attitude, even Cupid also that those prayers are not very much appreciated in Bhagavatam, right? So then Naranarayan Rishi, they say that you have come, you must take some gift. You have come with so many girls, I will give you one girl. Then he generates Urvasi. And he generates so many, so then they select Urvasi. So Urvasi is a gift. Indra has sent you to disturb my austerities with so many girls. Instead of getting disturbed by these girls, I send one more girl as a gift to Indra. So he sends. So these are some pastimes of Naranarayan Rishi. One here in 4th canto, one in the 11th canto, one in 12th canto. Only that much. 5th canto, prayers. Two personalities. There are two personalities. Next, 58th verse. Evam suraganaistata bhagavantava bhishtutau labdhavalokeryatur architau gandhamadhanam.
O Vidura, thus the demigods worshipped with prayers the Supreme Personality of Godhead appearing as the sage Naranarayana. The Lord glanced upon them with mercy and then departed for Gandhamadana hill.
So they went to Gandhamadana hill to perform austerities. Next, Tavimau Vai Bhagavato Harer Amshav Ivagatau Bharavyayacha Bhuvaham Krishnau Yadukurudvahau.
The Naranarayan Rishi, who is a partial expansion of Krishna, has now appeared in the dynasties of Yadu and Kuru, in the forms of Krishna and Arjuna, respectively, to mitigate the burden of the world.
It appears that somebody may say that Naranarayan Rishi appeared as Krishna and Arjuna. It's not that they appeared as Krishna and Arjuna. They were present within Krishna and Arjuna. Krishna and Arjuna are the source, right? So they are like original Naranarayan. So they are present within Krishna and Arjuna and were accompanying Krishna and Arjuna to remove the burden of the earth. So it is not that Krishna and Arjuna were plenary expansions of Naranarayana, but Naranarayana were the plenary expansions of Krishna and Arjuna. This is according to Jiva Goswami in Bhagavata Sandarbha. Next. So that is the episode of Naranarayan Rishi. Now we continue with the remaining dynasties. Svahabhimaninaschagner Atmajam Strin Ajijanat Pavakam Pavamanam Cha Suchim Cha Hutabhojanam.
The predominating deity of fire begot in his wife Swaha three children named Pavaka, Pavamana and Shuchi, who exist by eating the oblations offered to the fire of sacrifice.
So Agni is the receiver of all the oblations in sacrifice. His responsibility is to carry these oblations, sacrificial oblations, to various demigods. You just give. You accept and then distribute to everyone. Like that. So their sustenance is the sacrificial oblations. Next, grandsons of Agni are described in 61st verse. Tebhyognaya sa samabhavan chatvarimshaccha panchacha taevaikona panchaschat sakam pitrupitamahaihi.
From these three sons, another 45 descendants were generated, who are also fire gods. The total number of fire gods is therefore 49, including the fathers and the grandfather.
There is original Agni, then next three sons, Pavaka, Pavamana, Swaha, then next 45 descendants. 45 plus 3 plus 1, 49. Total fire gods. Next, 62. Vaitanike karmaniyan nama bhirbrahma vadibhihi agneya ishtato yagne nirupyante gnayastuyate.
These 49 fire gods are the beneficiaries of the oblations offered in the Vedic sacrificial fire by impersonalist Brahmanas.
You can read the next verse also, next translation.
The Agnishvatas, the Barhishadas, the Saumyas and the Ajyapas are the Pitas. They are either Sagnika or Niragnika. The wife of all these Pitas is Swadha, who is the daughter of King Daksha.
So those who receive fire sacrifice are called Sagnika. Those who do not are called Niragnika, right? Or Anagnaya, like that. Read the next.
Swadha, who was offered to the Pitas, begot two daughters, namely Vayuna and Dharani, both of whom were impersonalists and were expert in transcendental and Vedic knowledge.
So that completes Swadha's lineage. So we have seen Swaha married to Agni and the descendants are described. Swadha married to Pitas, their descendants are described. Now one daughter is left, Sati. So Bhavasya Patni tu Sati, Bhavam Devam Anuvrata, Atmanasadrisham Putram, Nalebhe Gunasilataham.
The 16th daughter, whose name was Sati, was the wife of Lord Shiva. She could not produce a child, although she always faithfully engaged in the service of her husband.
She could not produce a child. So the reason is mentioned in the next six chapters. Pitaryapari aprati rupe sve bhavayanagaserusha apraudhaivatmanatmanam ajahadyoga samyuta.
The reason is that Sati's father Daksha used to rebuke Lord Shiva in spite of Shiva's faultlessness. Consequently, before attaining a mature age, Sati gave up her body by dint of yogic mystic power.
So, briefly, the story is there was a misunderstanding between Shiva and Daksha. Daksha is very envious of Shiva since the beginning only. He was not at all willing to give his daughter Sati to Shiva, but Brahmaji recommended he should give. So, obliged by Brahmaji's request, he gave. But he constantly was blaspheming. Once in a sacrifice where so many prajapatis and sages and demigods were attending, Daksha entered the sacrificial arena, but Shiva was absorbed in meditation on the Supreme Lord and he could not get up. So Daksha criticized Shiva and cursed Shiva. Then later he went away from that sacrifice, he began another sacrifice. In that another sacrifice he invited all the demigods but not Shiva and Sati. Then Sati, being an affectionate daughter of Daksha, she wanted to go and attend that sacrifice. Shiva said, your father is not very favorable to us, so you will only get insult there, so you cannot go. But Sati says, I want to go, and she left. So there she received a very cold reception from Daksha, because then she became upset and she chastised Daksha and gave up her body in frustration. Then Shiva had sent this Virabhadra to destroy the sacrifice, and Virabhadra comes along with all the Pramatha Ganas and associates of Shiva and destroys the sacrificial arena of Daksha and beheads him. And later Brahmaji goes and negotiates that Daksha stopped sacrificial oblations for you in the sacrifice, but you should be kind. Then Shiva comes and revives the sacrifice and gives a goat head to Daksha. Then Daksha continues the sacrifice. That is the whole story. So because Sati gave up her body prematurely, she could not have a child. So that was the reason, which is elaborately explained from 4.2 to 4.7. Thank you all very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.